It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
And a happy Sunday morning to everybody out there. Welcome back to the Hot Seat at its regular time slot, 11 a.m. It's your host, Vinny Fredericks, here bringing you the hottest takes, the hottest topics, and the hottest headlines around the world of sports and beyond. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for tuning in on this fine Sunday morning, January 19th. Divisional round of the NFL playoffs officially underway. Tomorrow, college football national championship. MLB free agency starting to wind down as we're seeing the last big names start to get their deals. A couple big name signings over this weekend and even just this morning breaking a few minutes ago. So we'll dive into all that later on in the hour. Nothing, you know, big locally speaking, but some big name free agents still making decisions out there in the MLB. And of course, NBA, college basketball, all the great hoops out there being played. We'll cover it all for you right here. On the Hot Seat, once again, it is your host, Vinny Fredericks, as it is a little bit warm out today, you know, for a Sunday morning in January. I'll take this, not too cold out, but without further ado, let's dive into it. As I mentioned, we got a football-filled weekend. We'll recap the games from yesterday in the divisional round, who's moving on to the conference championships. We'll preview the games coming up today, including the Buffalo Bills, which you can hear right here on our station. At around 6:15, pregame will start. 8:30 is when kickoff is in that one. 6:30. Quite an early game for the NFL playoffs on a Sunday. 6:30, Ravens, Bills. So I guess we won't be carrying the pregame show on our station today, but we will have Ravens, Bills for you later on, starting at 6:15. In what should be a great matchup. And again, it'll be Rams-Eagles at 3 o'clock. And we'll dive into all that and preview that a little bit later on. Of course, we'll dive into the NBA, check out how the local products, how our local regional teams are doing this weekend. We'll take a look at the college hoops scoreboards and see if anything crazy happened over the weekend. There were a couple big upsets. I will throw that out there. So we'll dive into that later on. And of course, the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond coming up at the end of the show here later on. So let's just dive right into it. As last night, it was a couple decent football games being played. We'll start off with the 4 o'clock game, that being the Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Houston Texans at Arrowhead Stadium in what many expected to be a bit of a blowout. Chiefs were 9.5-point favorites. They narrowly did not cover that. I thought they were 8.5-point favorites going into the game, but no. 9.5 points was the line in favor of Kansas City, and wouldn't you know it, they win the game by 9. So if you took Texans plus 9.5, Texans cover the spread. But of course, for these two teams, once you make the playoffs, the spread is not what you're playing for. You're playing to win the game, and the Houston Texans were pretty outmatched the entire game. I mean, early on, you know, they were hanging around, they were in it, but the Kansas City Chiefs just continue to find ways to win games. I mean, plenty of discourse going on across social media about some of the calls that were made in this game, a couple roughing the passers or unnecessary roughness. You know, Will Anderson Jr., even in the postgame locker room sound, he would go on to say, he said, "We knew it would be us versus the refs." Which is a very, you know, that's something that you see a lot on whether it be Instagram or Twitter or X, whatever you call it. You'll see that a lot from fans talking about the game, but to hear an actual player in the post-game, you know, interviews say that you knew going in that you were going to have to not only beat this team that you're playing, who's won back-to-back Super Bowls, but you also have to beat the refs at the same time. That's certainly an eye-opening thing to hear, you know, because obviously, as fans who sit and watch these games, it's very easy to see a lot of the calls that the Chiefs and Mahomes may get. And, you know, it's no different than when Tom Brady or Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers was in his prime and these guys were all competing at the highest level in the NFL. They got certain calls. You know, that's the way the game goes. Those premier quarterbacks, or, you know, even if it's a premier wide receiver out there, you know, these guys are going to get the benefit of the doubt. If it's a 50-50 call, they're going to give it to these guys every single time. So I don't know if I would say that this game was Texans versus the refs, or if it was Chiefs and refs versus Texans. I would just say that Mahomes, given everything he's done in his career, has kind of earned that right to get those 50-50 calls. Now, I'm not going to say every single one should have been thrown. You know, there were certainly some roughing the passers that were pretty soft, if you ask me. There were certainly some calls that I think weren't necessary, but I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, the Chiefs are only winning because of the refs and they wouldn't even be here if it weren't for them. Like, no, they're still a great football team. They still have the best quarterback in the NFL under center, who always finds ways to win, you know, even if sometimes they get a couple extra calls, which certainly help them in their favor. I'm not going to say that that's the only reason that they win. And if it were that bad, I'm sure the NFL would look into this or give some sort of investigation into how they are reffing these Kansas City Chiefs games. But either way, you know, I think Mahomes has just simply earned that right to be able to, you know, get those calls and be able to get, you know, reap the benefits. I mean, that's what happens when you're one of the best players in the league, especially when you're one of the faces of the league that brings in revenue for the NFL and gets people tuned into the game. So yeah, I think it's you know, it's certainly something that should be discussed. You know, if there's people out there that genuinely think that the Chiefs get an unfair advantage every single game because they have the refs on their side, then yeah, that should certainly be something that the NFL takes action upon. And you shouldn't see that in the NFL, but this is how it's always been. People were complaining about the same thing about Tom Brady 10 years ago. They were complaining about the same thing probably about, you know, Troy Aikman and Joe Montana and Steve Young and John Elway, all these guys that won Super Bowls early on. I'm sure that they got some calls that people didn't always agree with. And as the game evolves, you see it more and more as they try to protect players more and throw more of these, you know, physical unnecessary roughness calls. I just think you're bound to see it no matter who it is under center. You know, even on the NFC side, I'm sure that there are some quarterbacks out there that get calls that others don't, because when you've been in the league for as long as a guy like Mahomes has and continue to have success, it's apparent that you're going to get those 50-50 calls. And I feel like we're missing something here, as I kind of just dove right into all of this, you know, playoff discussion here, but this is what we really needed. Now that we've got a little NFL bed music here, we can continue to dive into this Texans-Chiefs game. As I mentioned, the Chiefs do get the victory 23-14 in the final, winning this one by 9, so Houston covers the spread. And Mahomes and Travis Kelce, they had themselves a day. Mahomes, who has never lost in the divisional round of the playoffs and enters his 7th straight AFC championship, which is crazy to me. 7 straight AFC championships, only losing 2 of those, I believe. 1 to the Bengals and 1 to the Patriots early on when Tom Brady was still there. 7 straight AFC championships, absolutely ridiculous. But the Chiefs finding ways to win games like they always do. Travis Kelce had himself a day, 7 receptions, 117 yards, and a touchdown. And the defensive side of the ball, the Chiefs showed up as well, as C.J. Stroud ends up sacked 8 times in this one. Steve Spagnuolo, of course, one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL. And the Kansas City Chiefs, once again, back to the AFC Championship. I keep saying it, the 7th consecutive season. That is insane for me to just think about. But the Chiefs become the 4th team in NFL history to follow back-to-back Super Bowl wins with a conference title appearance. But the 3 previous teams, as I try to remember the English language here, lost those games, as they will try to change that at Arrowhead Stadium next weekend against either the Bills or the Ravens, who end up playing later tonight at 6:30, just like I mentioned before, in Buffalo. And we know both of these teams play the Chiefs hard, but they've also both been in the conference championship against the Chiefs and have both lost, most recently being the Ravens, who did it last season. So we'll see if Baltimore or Buffalo have a chance at dethroning the Chiefs here. I think this might be the year we see it happen, just because the Chiefs have won games, but they haven't looked dominant. You know, even in this game against the Houston Texans, it took 10 fourth quarter points for them to finally pull away and get themselves the victory here. But I don't know. I mean, I'll never bet against the Chiefs until one of these teams, like the Bills or the Ravens, or even someone in the Super Bowl, beats Kansas City. I'm not going to bet against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So I'm still going to assume the Chiefs are going to win next week in advance of the Super Bowl. But they haven't looked as dominant this year as they have in previous seasons. And that certainly gives me an indication that there's a chance that, whether it be Baltimore or Buffalo, that one of them can find a way to get the job done, as the Kansas City Chiefs move on to the AFC Championship seventh straight appearance. As for the other game last night, again, the one seed facing off, but this time it was the Detroit Lions with the Washington Commanders coming to town, and Jaden Daniels and the nothing to lose Washington Commanders, first year under Dan Quinn, first year under Jaden Daniels at quarterback, they send the top seeded Detroit Lions home to a stunningly swift playoff exit, as Jaden Daniels threw for two touchdowns and fellow rookie Mike Sainristol had two interceptions as well in what was a phenomenal performance that helped Washington beat Detroit 45-31 to reach the NFC Championship for the first time since the franchise won their third Super Bowl 33 years ago. And just to throw it in there and make it about my Cowboys like I always do, Dallas Cowboys now have the longest drought in the NFC for making the conference championship. Just want to throw that out there. They haven't made the NFC Conference Finals since 1996. Anyways, Washington Commanders and Jaden Daniels get the job done in what was a surreal moment, according to Jaden Daniels. He was quoted as saying, "I always believed that we could achieve more than people give us credit for." And they did. They came into this game 8.5-point underdogs and would end up winning by 14. And the NFC's top team, Detroit, for the first time in franchise history with 15 wins, could not live up to their expectations by turning the ball over five times in this one. Three of those coming off of Jared Goff interceptions and a fumble to go along with that. And the final turnover coming from a trick play, which saw Jameson Williams, the wide receiver, throwing into coverage off of a reverse play and get intercepted in the fourth quarter. I tell you what, in the first half, this one was back and forth. I mean, 28 points for Washington just in the second quarter alone. Ridiculous. They would go into halftime with a 10-point lead, 31-21. And second half, it was just, it was mostly Commanders, at least in the fourth quarter, that is, as they would put up two touchdowns in the fourth and put this game to bed, pretty much. Jared Goff, like I said, three picks, lost a fumble, had three of those turnovers just in the first half, and finished 23 of 40 for 313 yards and one touchdown pass to Sam Laporta. Jaden Daniels would finish the day with 299 yards, the two touchdowns, one to Terry McLaurin, one to Zach Ertz, and Deami Brown, the young player who was drafted the same year as Amon-Ra St. Brown, would finish the game with six receptions, 98 yards. Brian Robinson Jr., two touchdowns on the ground, and Jeremy McNichols, a rushing touchdown as well. So this Lions defense, as beat up as they were, could not keep the good play up. And I mean, when you give up 45 points in a playoff game, you should probably expect to lose, because that's a shootout right there, and not many teams in the NFL can live with shootouts that end up, you know, where you're going to need 50 points to get the win. So Washington offense, very impressive outing for them against what was one of the better defensive units in the NFL, albeit as beat up as they were. Detroit always found ways to look good, even with with all the injuries on the defensive side of the ball. We saw how they played week 18 against Minnesota. And this week it was a completely different story. And you got to feel for Dan Campbell, because year in and year out, he has people questioning his coaching style. You know, there's those who love his style and, you know, would run through a wall for him and think that he's a great motivator, great locker room guy. But then there's also the side of it where he makes interesting decisions, like always going for it on fourth down, or the aggressiveness in which he calls games. And sometimes you see it ends up being their downfall. We saw it last year in the NFC Championship against San Francisco. We saw it this year against the Washington Commanders, and he was emotional in the post-game presser. He said it was all his fault, refused to let the players take the blame for it, and it was certainly tough to watch. So you got to feel for Dan Campbell. And now he's probably losing both of his coordinators in Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn this year to head coaching positions. So Detroit, I was saying, if they didn't get it this year, I don't know when they're going to have another chance, especially with Jared Goff only getting older. They're certainly going to be a competitive team again next year, but I don't know if they're going to be number one in the NFC with all the things that are changing in Detroit. But either way, great season for them. Didn't get the job done when it mattered, though, and they know that. They'll be back hungrier than ever next year, but we'll see. There's going to be a lot of changing going on, especially if they do end up losing both Johnson and Aaron Glenn. So we'll have to wait and see, but the Washington Commanders move on to the NFC Championship for the first time in 33 years, where they will take on the winner on the road of the Philadelphia Eagles and the LA Rams, who play today. We'll preview that game and the Sunday night game between Buffalo and Baltimore coming up next here on The Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Vinny Fredericks here from The Hot Seat, letting you know to download the free, that's right, the free 104.5 The Team app on the App Store today to be up to date with when our shows are going on, when The Hot Seat is happening every Sunday morning, and when the rest of our programming updates come out, as you will be able to listen to our shows live from your phone anytime you want. So be sure to go to the App Store, download the free 104.5 The Team app today.
It's The Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio.
And we are back here on The Hot Seat on this fine Sunday morning. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Vinny Fredericks here with you up until 12 o'clock. And be sure to tune in later on at around 6:15. We'll have the Buffalo Bills kickoff against the Baltimore Ravens. And we'll preview that game coming up shortly here. But first, a quick announcement, as we will have our first guest here on The Hot Seat later on at around 11:45. UAlbany men's baseball coach Bam Bam Mueller, also known as John Mueller, will join us at 11:45, talk some UAlbany baseball, and apparently he's a big Washington Commanders fan. So as we just dove into the Commanders' upset over the Detroit Lions, we'll see what he has to say on it and how he feels about his chances against the winner of the Eagles and the Rams. So he'll be coming up, joining us live at around 11:45. Shout out to MJ for making that happen. He actually, just during, well, earlier on in the show, I didn't get a chance to look, but I was looking in the break. He had texted me and said, "Yo, Bam Bam Mueller, UAlbany baseball coach, we'll hop on at 11:45, talk some Commanders." And I was like, let's do it. Gotta love it. So shout out MJ for setting that up, and that should be a good time. So be sure to tune in around 11:45. UAlbany baseball coach Bam Bam Mueller joins us as the first ever guest here on The Hot Seat on Sunday mornings with Vinny Fredericks here on 104.5 The Team. And without further ado, let's dig into the football games today, including the LA Rams and the Philadelphia Eagles. The victor will eventually take on Bam Bam's Washington Commanders at home next week. But first, they gotta get the win today in Philadelphia. And if you're the LA Rams, whew, man, well, you're thinking one thing. You're thinking, we just got to stop Saquon Barkley, because they certainly know after this season that if they get a, this is what Sean McVay said, if they get a beat on what you're doing, They will pound you and they will embarrass you. And that is exactly what the Eagles and Saquon Barkley did to the LA Rams previously this season when they had played in a game in which Saquon Barkley would rush for 255 yards and a pair of touchdowns in the 37-20 victory over the LA Rams, and also would go for 302 yards from scrimmage, only the 12th player in NFL history and the first Eagle player to ever hit that mark. So now in the divisional round, Saquon Barkley, who just got his first playoff win of his career last week against the Green Bay Packers, now he's got a chance for his second, and I'm sure he's going to be ready to go against this LA Rams defense. But this LA Rams defense looked very good last week against the Minnesota Vikings with, what was it, 9 sacks they got on Sam Darnold? Either way, Rams defense looks ready. Rams offense, you know how explosive they can be with the likes of Kyren Williams and Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp all out there with Matthew Stafford, of course, the Super Bowl winning quarterback. So it's certainly going to be a good game here. Eagles 6.5-point favorites last I checked. Yep, 6.5-point favorites. And this Eagles team certainly, despite being the bigger seed, looked like they were in a little bit of rough shape last week against the Green Bay Packers. You know, they let them hang around in this one. They let them hang around, and as you know, as bad as the Packers played, the Eagles didn't look too much better. They were able to make plays when they especially needed them in the second half, once Green Bay finally started to get their offense rolling. But without that super slow start for the Green Bay offense, Philadelphia Eagles might be in a completely different situation. So we'll see how the Eagles come out this week against the Rams. I mean, I think they just got to lean on Saquon. Just let Saquon do what he does. You know, we saw what happened the last time these two teams played. Give it a couple drives. Of course, it takes a little bit to establish the run, but if the Eagles don't give up on establishing the run early on and, you know, just continue to pour it on the LA Rams, then I think they should have no problem. As it looks like the phone lines are going crazy over here. Let's see. Maybe we'll take a quick live caller. Talk a little bit of divisional round playoffs. Let's see if they're still on the line here. Hello, you have reached the hot seat with Vinny Fredericks. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Steve in Clifton Park.
Steve, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, he just said that Saquon Barkley got his first playoff win last week with Philadelphia. No, Saquon got his first win in 2022 when he was with the Minnesota. Giants against Minnesota.
Yes, good point, so, Steve. Good point. Hey, way to call me out on that. Yes, you are correct. First playoff win as a Philadelphia Eagle, I should say.
That would make sense. Thank you. Want to make sure.
Yeah, no, of course. What do you expect from Saquon in this one against the LA Rams? You expect another outing?
I'm expecting Saquon to run for at least 175 with the weather, and I'm expecting probably one touchdown, maybe two. They've got to keep it on the ground if Philadelphia's going to win, just with the weather and that sort of thing, but he's going to dominate, and as a Giants fan, I've been crying every day since he left this past season.
Yeah, he's making a lot of people cry, Steve. Thanks for the call, and thanks for tuning in, buddy.
All right, later, bye.
That was Steve in Clifton Park. Yeah, he's right. Saquon did get the one playoff win with the Giants in Minnesota back in 2022. The same playoff win that eventually would lead to Daniel Jones getting the payday that, as we know now, certainly did not work out for the Giants. But they got the number three pick in the NFL draft this year. So could be some big things changing for the G-men coming up next season. But back to the Rams and Eagles. Yeah, like Steve said, I completely agree. Eagles got to keep the ball on the ground, and if they can establish this running game and not force Jalen Hurts to win this game with his arm, I think the Eagles will do just fine. But that's the X factor for the Rams as well. You know, if you can stop Saquon early and force Philly to sling the ball around, now you have the opportunity to get some stops, because A.J. Brown only had one catch last week against Green Bay. Devontae Smith had a few, had a decent game, but you know, Jalen Hurts certainly did not throw the ball that much in that game against the Green Bay Packers. He only finished with 131 passing yards, 2 touchdowns to go with it, sure, but only 131 yards through the air is not not what you would expect from a playoff victory, especially one with their franchise quarterback under center. So we'll see. I'm predicting that the Eagles win a tight one here. I think the Rams will certainly give them a bit of a battle, but I just don't think they'll be able to stop Saquon Barkley. He's hungry. He wants, you know, to play in his first championship game, and I think the Eagles find a way to get it done against the LA Rams. But the game of the weekend, really, if you ask me, comes down to Baltimore and Buffalo at Highmark Stadium as the two MVP favorites, most people would probably agree, set to take each other on in the divisional round here. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. Whew, this is going to be a good one. Both teams combined for 27 wins total so far this season, including their playoff wins last week. And this should be a great one. You know, everything about this screams game of the weekend. Of course, you got your two MVP leading candidates and both of these teams with that chip on their shoulder of constantly getting to the playoffs. Then you got to take on Patrick Mahomes, and they always find a way to get the job done. So will the Bills or the Ravens be able to change course here and get their first victory against Mahomes and the Chiefs in the playoffs? We will see, but they got to get through this week first. And I think right now everything leans in favor of the Bills. You know, the weather especially, it is going to be freezing at this one. Negative 12 degrees Celsius. That was a bad voice crack there. 10 degrees Fahrenheit for this one in Buffalo. And listen, the Baltimore Ravens, sure, they're not one of those teams that needs to play in the warm to make their offense work. They can rely on Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson to ground and pound their way down the field, but I don't know. The Buffalo Bills are used to this weather. They've played in it multiple times. Josh Allen can get the job done on the ground and in the air if need be in this kind of weather. And that all makes me think that, you know, the signs favor the Buffalo Bills, but this Ravens rushing attack, they're certainly tough to stop. As we saw last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers, as they ran for almost 300 yards in that one. If they have a game like that, I don't think it matters if it's snowing out or if it's the middle of monsoon season or if a volcano is erupting. If they run for 300 yards, they're going to get the win against the Buffalo Bills. So we'll see. A couple of historic teams here, you know, Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. First NFL team to top 4,000 passing yards and 3,000 rushing yards. The Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen were the NFL's first team to score 30 touchdowns, both passing and rushing on the season, as Josh Allen topped 40 combined touchdowns for the fifth consecutive season. This is going to be an offensive, you know, juggernaut facing an offensive, dynasty. It's going to be back and forth. I think if the weather wasn't a factor in this one, I would expect, just like we saw last night with Washington and Detroit, I'd expect a, you know, 70, 80 point combined total. But due to the weather and how cold and frigid it's going to be out there in Buffalo, I don't know. I'm expecting a bit of a lower scoring matchup, still pretty high, you know, higher than I would say the Chiefs and Texans. I'm predicting somewhere around a 28-24 Buffalo Bills victory, but I still wouldn't be surprised to see if the Ravens get the run game going quick, they'll come away victorious and they'll have a chance to head to Arrowhead and take down the Kansas City Chiefs. But my pick right now, still going Buffalo Bills. As the spread on this one, I forgot to mention, Baltimore is coming in as the away team, 1-point favorite over the Buffalo Bills. So this should be a tight one. Great game. Be sure to tune in later on to 104.5 The Team to listen, as we'll have Buffalo Bills kickoff right at 6:15. When we come back, we'll dive into the hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond. And after that, we will talk with UAlbany baseball coach Bam Bam Mueller about his Washington Commanders and some UAlbany baseball here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Vinny Fredericks from the Hot Seat here, and if you want to be up to date with when episodes are going to come out,
when it's going to be live on air on 104.5 The Team. And if you want to see clippings and snippets of interviews and other on-air moments from my time here with 104.5 The Team, follow my social media accounts at VFreds Media, at VFREDDS Media on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and more to stay up to date on everything and all things Hot Seat and more.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this Sunday edition of the Hot Seat. Back in our regular time slot, it feels good to be 11 to 12 again, not having to get up that extra hour early. Of course, you know, it's nice going right from the Hot Seat into Buffalo Bills football at 11. But it's also nice to be able to sleep in that little extra bit, get here for the 11 o'clock show. And of course, I'll be back here later on as the Buffalo Bills. You can hear right here on the station at around 6:30. Which, honestly, it was a pleasant surprise for me to see that the game is at 6:30 and not at 8:30. Because I was expecting to be here, you know, 2 hours for pregame and then also have to stay for the game. So, you know, that's a decent little surprise. No pregame, I guess. We'll just be diving right into Bills football later on when they kick off at 6:30. So it should be a good one. Be sure to tune in for that. I know I'll be paying close attention as we've pretty much previewed today's NFL matchups. Real quick, before we dive into the hottest headlines of the week, I forgot to mention that tomorrow is the NCAA National Championship between the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, as that will, of course, also be a great game to watch. That game kicks off at, 7:30 on ESPN, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Atlanta, Georgia. Ohio State comes into this one as an 8.5-point favorite. And you know what? I'm picking Ohio State in this one. I know we don't have too much time to really dive into it, but Ohio State, I think they got the better defense. I think their defense has been, you know, one of the best since the start of the playoffs. I'm much higher on Will Howard than I am on Riley Leonard. I think in a pinch, Will Howard can make a play if you need. We saw that last week against Texas. Especially with that, I mean, I guess that play at the end of the first half was more on Travion Henderson, but Will Howard's still able to get the ball into his running back's hands, and we saw him take it 75 yards to the house in what was, you know, a huge touchdown in that one. And I have more faith in the Buckeyes. I think the games that they've won in the playoffs so far, they've looked better than Notre Dame has. And that's not a knock on Notre Dame. Notre Dame has a phenomenal defense as well, and they're resilient. We saw them lose two offensive linemen and a couple other players in that game against Penn State in the semifinals. I just don't know if the resiliency is going to be enough to carry them past Ohio State. I'm taking the Buckeyes in this one. I'd expect Notre Dame to cover because 8.5 is a pretty wide spread for the national championship, but I'm taking Ohio State and I'm expecting Notre Dame covers this one. But I still think Ohio State wins this one by a touchdown. Moving on to our hottest headlines of the week around the world of sports and beyond. You know what time it is. And we'll start things off here with some more college football news. Speaking of the Texas Longhorns, who just lost to Ohio State in the semifinals, their head coach Steve Sarkisian agrees to a new contract with the university for, 7 years. As I search for the information here, as Sark not going anywhere, sticking in Texas. A 7-year contract for Sarkisian that adds a year to his deal and makes him one of the highest paid coaches in college football. The Longhorns in their first season in the SEC advanced to the title game and won 2 college football playoff games against Clemson and Arizona State before being eliminated by the Buckeyes, as I mentioned, last week in the Cotton Bowl. Texas certainly had a chance in that one, had the opportunity to tie the game up late in that one until the fumble, which was taken back by Jack Sawyer for the touchdown. So yeah, I'm going to take the Steve Sarkisian, as I mentioned, tough one last week against Ohio State, but he gets the extension to stick with Texas University, and we'll be seeing him with the Longhorns for quite some time as the phone lines ringing again. Let's see. Maybe it's Steve from Clifton Park again. Let's see who we got. Welcome to the hot seat. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Mike in Slingerlands. I have a quick question. You were just talking about Notre Dame, Ohio State.
Yes, I was.
I'm glad you guys were talking about it because, you know, it's huge tomorrow and that sort of thing. Question this. Win or lose, whether Notre Dame wins or loses, Ohio State wins or loses, which of the two head coaches with Ohio State or Notre Dame has a better chance of ending up coaching in the NFL?
Okay.
Does Day leave if he wins or loses? Or does the coach of Notre State or Notre Dame leave whether they win or they lose?
Well, Mike, I would say if I had to anticipate any coach leaving, it would be Ryan Day, simply because he's got more experience coaching in college. I think he's better equipped at the NFL than Marcus Freeman. I think Marcus Freeman could certainly make it to the NFL eventually, but I'm not sure if right now is the time. I'd like to see him coach a few more years in college at Notre Dame and see if he wins a national championship. All right, now we might have a different story, but Ryan Day is also still trying to do the same thing. I just think he's got more experience than Freeman, but what's your thoughts on that?
I think Ryan Day, win or lose, leaves. Because if he wins, he does what he needed to do and win a national championship for Ohio after everything with Michigan. And if he loses, he's got to get out. That's it. I think Day is gone no matter which way it happens.
All right. I hear you. You know what? That's a good point, especially with the way they were calling for his job earlier in the season. Wouldn't be a bad idea. Thank you for the call, my man. Have a good one.
No problem. You too. Bye.
Yeah, I think that's a very good question to ask. You know, Ryan Day, we saw there's a lot of discourse surrounding him in Ohio State, especially after that loss to Michigan. Maybe it's time for him to move on to the NFL, but we've also seen how some coaches trying to make that jump from college to the NFL, it can go pretty south. The most recent one that comes to mind being Urban Meyer leaving Ohio State and heading to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And we saw how that ended up for him. So who knows? Either way, both coaches doing a great job with their prospective programs. And I wouldn't be surprised to see both of them coaching in the NFL one day. And especially coming off a national championship, I'm not sure if either coach would leave right after that. But hey, you never know. If someone comes calling and they offer, you know, the big bucks, I don't know if they could really turn that down. So good question there from Mike and Slingerlands. Thank you again for the call. As we move on here real quick, we'll dive into these last couple headlines before getting to Coach Bam Bam Mueller of UAlbany at around 11:45. Speaking of baseball, the LA Dodgers continue to sign every free agent whose name is on the board. As just the other day, it was announced that Japanese pitching star Roki Sasaki says he is joining the Dodgers. No surprises here, as well, for the rest of the MLB. I don't really see how anyone is going to beat this all-star dynasty that the LA Dodgers have put together here. Maybe my Yankees will find a way to get the job done next year. Aaron Judge will wake up in the playoffs, but it's certainly not looking good for the rest of the MLB as the Dodgers, coming off a World Series victory, now add even more to their rotation that already included the likes of Tyler Glasnow, Shohei Ohtani coming back from injury, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Blake Snell, who they just signed earlier this offseason, Clayton Kershaw is expected to return. And don't forget, there's guys like Tony Gonsolin, Dustin May, and Bobby Miller who remain in the organization and have pitched for them before. Oh, I forgot to mention too, just an hour ago, it was announced that All-Star closer Tanner Scott would be joining the Dodgers as well after signing a 4-year, $72 million contract. So the Dodgers continue to pour it on the rest of the MLB. And we all continue to sit here and wonder why the MLB hasn't instituted some type of salary floor or salary cap, at least one of the two. Preferably a salary floor to keep some of these teams whose owners refuse to spend money on any players and just pocket all the revenue. Maybe they'll actually become competitive and win some games and sign some players. Probably never going to happen, but we'll see. Right now, baseball is simply the Dodgers' game to lose. I'm intrigued to see what the betting odds are looking at once free agency is officially wrapped up and we see what the lines are looking like. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Dodgers in minus territory. They're going to be the favorites by far, but I wouldn't even expect them to be at plus 100. They're probably going to be at minus 150, if we're being honest here. But Dodgers continue to pour it on, and we'll see. We'll see. There's still some big names out there, one being New York Mets' Pete Alonso, who might not end up back with the Mets after all. We'll keep you up to date on where he ends up going. But MLB free agency coming to a bit of a close, the last big name starting to get off the board. And don't be surprised if you see them all end up with the LA Dodgers, as that is my sad Yankee fan rant on the Dodgers. We'll move on here. Coming up next, speaking of baseball, we'll be joined by UAlbany baseball coach Bam Bam Mueller. Talk a little UAlbany baseball and maybe a little Washington Commanders, as he is a big Commanders fan, and they head to their first NFC championship in 33 years. We'll have all that for you next here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team.
Vinny Fredericks here from the Hot Seat, just wanting to say thank you. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Or if you're listening live on 104.5 The Team every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. till 12 noon, we appreciate it very much here. And it's because of listeners like you that I continue to do this and follow my dreams. So thank you again for listening and for being a supporter of the Hot Seat and 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Be on the lookout for new episodes throughout the week and for the live airings every Sunday morning on 104.5 The Team.
It's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio.
And we are back here on the Hot Seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, 104.5 The Team, on this fine Sunday morning. Excited to announce we have our first guest ever on the show, head coach of UAlbany Great Danes baseball, Bam Bam Mueller, joining us here on the Hot Seat. Coach, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Vinny. I appreciate you having me, and that's awesome. First guest ever.
Yes, sir. You've made history. Absolutely. And I know we were just discussing during the break, we'll have to bring you back on next week and continue this going forward, as you're a big NFC East guy. As some of the listeners know, I'm a Cowboys fan. So I try to follow the NFC East as closely as I can. You being a Washington Commanders fan, we'll dive into that in just a moment. But real quick, first, I want to dive into your boys and the baseball team. You said you start winter workouts this Wednesday. How excited are you to get the boys back on the field and start getting things going for this season?
Really excited. We have 10 of our 17 pitchers are redshirt freshmen or freshmen. Really, ooh, a really exciting freshman class. And we have seven of our eight position players back from last year. We're the opposite of Jaden. We're kind of a light hitting offense. I like to call us pedestrian, but we try to play high-end defense and really pound the strike zone and attack and control the running game. And, you know, a lot of football terminology, because as you know, I'm a huge football fan, but yep. I think we'll be picked around fifth, sixth, or seventh, where they always pick us. And, you know, last year they picked us last. We finished fifth. We got walked off in the tournament. We went on a tremendous run, 7-2 to finish the conference after digging a hole for ourselves. So we got a tall task. We open up in Beaumont, Texas against Lamar. Lamar is one of those Division Ones you don't know much about. They were 25-4 at home last year and swept Oklahoma on the road.
Okay.
So really, really excited. Always excited this time of year. January, you know, I'm one of those guys that does the dry January and does the hard diet. So, you know, the eyes are clean, the head's clean. We're running around. We got a ton of juice. Super pumped for Wednesday in year 26.
Awesome, Coach. Happy to hear it. You know, of course, we'll be keeping the listeners updated with the Great Danes as the season goes on. You mentioned you have a lot of freshmen, redshirt freshmen. Are there any guys returning to you this year that you think are going to improve a lot from last year and you expect big seasons from?
Yes, I think number one, it starts and ends in the mound, as you know, Vinny. And,
absolutely.
And Dylan Banner is going to be an all-conference type arm, projectable. He's a borderline pro guy. He's really polished. I expect him to go out on Friday night and give us 100, 105 pitches in 6 or 7 innings and be super competitive. Number of guys coming back. Center fielder, Luke Filippi is an all-conference type guy. We feel as if our catcher may be the best in the league. You know, and then we have some, you know, it's similar to the Commanders. We have a lot of no-names. Guy at short, guy at second, guy at third. You know, we got guys that are just functional offensively and buy into the system. You know, everybody pulls the rope offensively and defensively. You got to make 100% of the average plays. That's what we talk about. And we want
like
action. We want action first three pitches. We don't want to, you know, we don't want you striking guys out. You know, we want to put that ball in play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I love that saying there. What was it? Exceed it at doing the average. How did it go?
100% of the average plays.
100% of the average plays. Got to love it. And you know
That's from Coach Kyer, a huge Bills fan, and let's give him some love. He's out in Buffalo right now with his family and his significant other. So he's a huge Bills fan. He really has pushed the envelope with his program, with his recruiting, and, you know, got a great staff, Wayne Jones, Pierce Hendershot, just got great guys around me. You know, you are who you surround yourself with, you know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I completely understand that. And just had to throw that out there because I think I'm going to steal that saying now and try to find ways to throw that into the shows coming up here. But you mentioned the Bills. You mentioned you're a big football guy. As MJ told me, you're a big Washington Commanders guy. So I'm sure you were up last night watching the game as they took down the one-seeded Detroit Lions in Detroit at that. So what were your big takeaways from the game?
So big takeaways, we got to set the stage. Obviously, it was me, Jackson, my son, my mom, who started me on this Redskin journey, Commander's journey, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. You know, it happens.
So we had, you know, we had the crew there, and, you know, just a remarkable, remarkable accomplishment. Where you begin, had to win the turnovers, had to slow down the running game, and I said, can we just not give up big plays to Gibbs? And, you know, right off the bat, Gibbs rips off a few. What I did see is this. I thought that when Cleland Farrell hit him, I knew if we hit him, he would cough it up if we could get to him. We got to him, and he coughed it up, and I think that started it. When Frankie Louvu cleaned him out on the way to the end zone, you know, legal hit, probably a hit to the head. But if you're going after the ball carrier, you are now in harm's way. So, you know, we can talk about that. We can talk about, you know, the Chiefs quarterback gets protected. We can talk about Fowler and the sack. It wasn't a face mask. What I like to tell my guys is if you put it in the hands of the guy behind home plate, you no longer have control of the strike zone. Okay, you come back. Was it a strike? No, it wasn't, but it was too close to take. You know, this guy's already established a low zone. You know, I think that I thought, you know what's interesting? After I slept on it, I really felt as if the Commanders wanted it more. You know, they wanted it more, and I think that Dan Campbell and the Lions spent so much energy, you know, getting through Detroit or getting through Vikings, getting through San Fran. Mm-hmm. Did they suffer significant injuries? No question. But we have supposedly a top 10 ranked offensive line, but that's because of the quarterback.
Yeah.
And we lost a borderline all-pro guard. You know, and the concern I had going into these last few weeks, who am I afraid of? Number one, the Eagles, because they bully you up front, offensively, defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the Baltimore Ravens. And I know that we got some Bills fans that are maybe upset, but you got to hear me out. Physical offensive line, quarterback, runs, throws, you know, they bully you. But the Detroit Lions, in my opinion, had the third best offensive line. And you know something? We handled it. We handled it with, you know, I call them the Alabama bank robbers. Allen and Payne inside played great. You know, Farrell, Dante Fowler, I mean, 10.5 sacks on a one-year deal. Louvu, Wagner, I mean, are you kidding me? Sandristrill from Michigan, 2 picks. I mean, he reminds me of Michael Jordan, and I said it. Michael Jordan.
I love that breakdown from you, Coach. It's a lot of good stuff. And very well said, too. You know, I mean, I always say it's a bit of an old school style of thinking, but if you win in the trenches 9 times out of 10, you're going to win, especially in the playoffs. And you brought up the Eagles and how physical they are up front and how they can bruise you with the offensive line. Are you expecting the Commanders to travel to Philadelphia next week, or do you think the Rams find a way to get it done against Philly today?
I'm going to preface this with I thought we were in a tough spot last night, and I said if we go through the Lions on the road, the Eagles, which will be the biggest challenge. I'm telling you right now, that is, they are the problem with the NFL. And if anybody thinks, well, Jalen Hurts, we're going to stop the run. Well, first of all, stop the run. And they, you know, Jalen Hurts is perfect for that offense. But their defense is the problem. Now, they lost their middle linebacker. Okay, N'Kobe Dean's out. But I just think if we get the Rams, I think we go to the Super Bowl. I really do. I think the Eagles are a problem. And I think that the Ravens, I think the Ravens or the Bills, the winner of that goes to the Super Bowl. That's my pick.
Oh,
I get
so,
it
so
with
you
Mahomes.
Don't have the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl?
I do not. I do not.
Wow.
Coach Mueller does not have them going. Nope. The party's over for Andy. Sorry, Andy. They ran you out of Philly. No, he doesn't want to play Philly in the Super Bowl either, because that's going to be it for the Chiefs. I said it.
Oh, man. All right, Coach. A bit of a surprising take there, but I honestly respect it. You know, the Chiefs have not looked as dominant this year as in years past. I said that earlier on in the show. So if there's a year for someone to come in and rain on their parade, I think it's this year. But appreciate the time, Coach. Thank you for a few minutes. And like I said before we came on, we'll have to do this again next week around the same time, as hopefully we'll have hopefully for your sake, we'll have a Commanders-Rams matchup. But if it is Commanders-Eagles, we'll dive into that as well. Sound good?
Hey, for Mr. P, and it's my birthday next Sunday. 55 next Sunday. Let's do it.
All right, I'll remember that. Even on the birthday, still making time for us here at 104.5 The Team. Thank you again, Coach.
You got it.
That was Coach Bam Bam Mueller of UAlbany Baseball. That was great. Great interview. Thank you again for MJ for setting that up. Thank you to Coach for joining us for a few minutes. That was a lot of fun. And, you know, great stuff from Coach. No Chiefs in the Super Bowl for him. Certainly a take out there that some people might disagree with, but definitely one that I think a lot of people are hoping ends up happening, as a lot of the people that I've seen watching football these playoffs are just ruined for one thing, you know, just anybody but the Chiefs. Me, I'm not in that company because, of course, Cowboys fan, I really don't want to see the Eagles win it, just, you know, rivalry and whatnot. I wouldn't mind to see the Commanders in there. Just because, you know, I don't have that same division rival hatred to the Commanders that I do towards a team like the Eagles or the Giants. So the Commanders, I'm pulling for them. You know, rookie quarterback Dan Quinn, former Cowboy defensive coordinator, I'm rooting for him for sure. And, you know, as far as the AFC goes, I got no dog in the fight. You know, I'm just hoping for some good games. So hopefully we get that later on. As like I mentioned, 3:00 Rams Eagles in Philly, 6:30 Ravens Bills. Listen to that right here on 104.5 The Team. And don't forget tomorrow night, 7:30 National Championship, Ohio State versus Notre Dame. Thank you again, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you to Coach Bam Bam Mueller for joining us at the end of the show here, talking a little UAlbany baseball and some playoff football. And we'll be back at it with Coach and myself next week on the hot seat at 11 a.m. with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. Good day, everybody.